So today is going to be a little bit different. I hope that's okay with you, but we're in this season of Advent, and I thought what we would do is a meditation, an Advent meditation. And so you've got a booklet that's got your songs in, and you should also have a little sheet as well, because there's a different song, there's a song change. And we're going to work our way through that booklet. But what I would really like you to do is maybe to take this home and to use it as a meditation through Advent yourself. And of course it's going to be a lot fuller this morning, but some of the memory of what we've done here will come back and trigger your memories as you take those moments of quiet. So this season, then a shoot will spring out from the stem of Jesse. A branch from his roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Waiting for that shoot. What is Advent? Is it the photo of your first grandchild with the plane ticket that you will take to meet them for the first time? Jigsaw bits scattered around, however the pieces of the frame have been edged so you can see the sky and the land. Or refugees sinking in a raft at night, then spying the lights of a lifeboat. Advent is a coming into place, a coming into view, an arrival. For Christ's people today, it's a time of waiting too, isn't it? A preparation before celebration. Before we celebrate Christmas on the 25th, but also a time of waiting for God's promised return of Christ. It's therefore a time for reflection, time for renewing our hope, a movement towards a new beginning. So Advent offers us this time of preparation, where we begin to slow down. Perhaps you don't feel like that with all your Christmas preparations. But winter really teaches us that. It's a season to slow down and to recognise our own longings. It's a time that can lead to a deepened openness with God and to discover that God wants to share his many gifts with us too. So today, as we reflect upon the gifts of Advent and what Advent offers us, let's allow the Holy Spirit to really touch our hearts, our minds, our memories, our imaginations. And hopefully you'll find it useful, as I say, as you journey through Advent. So let's stand and sing our first song, O Come, Emmanuel. Let's just take a moment to bring ourselves into God's presence, to open our hearts to him. Lord, we thank you this morning for this great hope that we have in you. Although that there's this longing in our hearts for the full completion of what you have promised, we can put our faith and our trust in you. So we invite you this morning to presence yourself amongst us as we worship you. As we bless you, we know that you're a loving God and you will bless us. Amen. Amen. So, we've got a couple of readings that you will find in your book right now.
As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? eating my food day and night, while people say to me continually, where is your God?
Okay. So our first gift today is that kind of getting in touch with our deepest longings. I've just said that Advent is a time to slow down, but the gift is, let's get in touch with what's really inside us. Is there a particular word or phrase, as Barbara read that reading, that spoke to you? Something that maybe you noticed? Have a look at the picture. Sit with it a moment. Ponder it. There's really no need to try and understand it, just to be aware of it and that it's speaking to you. And now let's think about the longings that we hear expressed today. Perhaps there's been something on the news this week that really struck you. Or maybe it was in a conversation with a neighbour or friend. What would you say the deep longings of this world are? Just take a moment to share that with your neighbour. What do you think the cries of this world are today? I said we were going to be different. Just have a moment now of silent prayer. All the things that you've just mentioned. I'm sure we're probably saying very similar things together, but let's just, in our hearts, bring those to God. Amen. So going back to that verse, David in the psalm is lamenting his remoteness from the temple. He's really expressing a desire for spiritual renewal. And our world, isn't it, is longing. Hearts are really, really aching. And I think we hear that more today than in the past. And if we're really honest, our hearts ache as well. There's a longing for God's presence, but some people don't even recognise it. I was talking to a young 20-year-old this week. No idea. No thought of God at all. Every so often, world events can really break in and shatter our complacency. You know, we might be facing difficult family situations. And, you know, we begin to ask, how is God present in what we've experienced or in what we're saying? Especially when there is so much instability around us. So I want Reader 1 now to just read, and let's listen to one man's experience.
One day, winter's walk in the woods, I came face to face with a deer. Our town had been in the midst of a stretch of very cold weather, and the stream I was looking along was mostly frozen over. I had stopped at a place where the swift current of the stream broke through the surface and swirled around in eddies before it disappeared back under the ice. As I sat and while watching and listening to the boiling water, a deer quietly appeared. We stared at one another for a few moments, and sensing I was no threat, the deer moved to the edge of the water and drank deeply. I recalled the words, "As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God." I had been experiencing a kind of winter in my soul. There were few signs of life, and the Spirit of God seemed to have become frozen over within me. Somehow I was drawn to this external image of my internal longing, flowing water finding a way to bubble up from beneath solid ice.
I'm sure each of us at one time or another have found ourselves in that difficult place, haven't we? You knew that you needed more, but somehow there just seemed to be that distance. There seems to be sometimes a gap that can't be bridged. Christmas is coming and it's so easy, along with everybody else, to get caught up in the preparations, but we've been offered a gift. Not this gift, but a gift. To pause, to slow down, like nature, to prepare our hearts to receive him. It's really important to listen to our hearts and to what they're saying. Even allowing that sense of longing to swirl up within us and to connect with the disconnect we feel, and that can feel very uncomfortable sometimes, and it's at that moment we often tend to want to push it away and go and get on with something else. You know, to explore our questions and our doubts, our wintry bleak soul experiences, with both our real self and God. God wants the chance to make himself known to us and to tend to our wounds. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. I will restore your fortunes. I will bring you back. The guy that we heard about acknowledged his dryness, that his walk had been from God had become quite distant, and that he was just going through motions, as it were. But actually his honesty, both with himself and before God, was the turning point. The scene of the bubbling water spoke with him and became an invitation to live deeper, in a deeper awareness of God's care and presence all around him. And God often arrives just like that for us. In the everyday, it's something we notice, something that gets our curiosity, something that gets our attention, can bring those moments of realignment. For this guy, it was the water. But God is the God who comes. An Advent is a time where we can really get in touch with our true selves again. The time of waiting. To wait for the God who comes, because he did promise that he would, and he did, and he will. So let's sing our next song about a longing in our hearts. It's the one, I think, that's on. Is this the one that's on the sheet or not?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
By
it's in your book. Okay, it's by the picture of the deer. Thank you. The next one's on the into our emptiness, into our brokenness, Lord, come down. Into our loneliness, into our neediness, into our busyness and our distractedness, Lord, come down. Into our chaos and our unsettledness,
Lord, come down.
Into our shallowness and our small-mindedness,
Lord, come down.
Into our past and into our present,
Lord, come down.
Into our future with all its uncertainty, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. For those on the margins and all the forgotten, Lord, come down. For those in the dark, in chains of despair, into our world with all its unsettledness, Lord, come down. Lord, in the places of war and violence and conflict, in all of our darkness, send us your light. Break forth as the daylight. Banish the night. Lord, rend the heavens and come down.
Okay. The word of God confronts, converts, and consoles us in that order. Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cried out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Unfailing love and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness smiles down from heaven. Yes, the Lord pours down his blessings.
Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Our next gift is the gift of receiving God's words of comfort, so we have another gift on the table. The prophet Isaiah spoke these words to the Jewish people in the midst of their exile in Babylon, between the years of 597 and 537. Their lives were shattered. The temple had been destroyed, and the memory of it was fading amongst their children. I think we could empathise with that. They were in a lost place. And yet, in the midst of this discouraging time, God's word came. And it was a word of comfort. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her. Speak to her heart, to the very core of her being. That's the essence of that tenderly. This wasn't a sentimental, mawkish communication. It really contains some home truths as well. God's word confronts, converts and consoles, and in that order. God's word confronted them. It came to them in their wilderness, and it was both a living and an active word. It was two-edged, a two-edged sword. On the one hand, it was a kiss of peace. It came as water to quench their thirst and food to satisfy their hunger. But it also came to convert and restore. God's divine word can be both tender and tough. It can be plain and complex, threatening and safe, provocative and reassuring, challenging and comforting. And we like the nice ones, don't we? But we don't like the confrontational words, do we? But it is in this work that both consolation and deep inner peace are found. God spoke then and is still speaking, even or perhaps when we least expect to hear his voice. But before consolation, there is needful soul work that needs to be done. You know, being a Christian is probably the most challenging thing we could have ever done with our lives, to set out on and to maintain that walk. It's a constant focus, a daily path to walk. And it involves all the time letting go of this ego self that we have within us, and not pointing the finger at others, but looking at our inner self and embracing the truth of who God has truly called us to be. It's very easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? We can even follow our own religious path rather than Jesus himself. Paul, writing to the Philippians, said, "In my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." Now, last week, we did a similar meditation, and I said something else. This week, I'm going to say something else at this point. I had a really, really difficult time at my son's wedding. Somebody spoke to me out of the blue and accused me in a very angry manner of something I just hadn't done. I have never been spoken to like that, but the end result was I shook physically. It really shook me up. And I have been carrying that shock since, but trying to work out my love, my forgiveness of what happened. And so this week I decided, Advent, it's time to let go of the past and to move on with hope. So I wrote a letter to the particular person. And I thought, I am going to ask three wise people what they think about this letter before I send it. So one of them is sitting here today. And she said, I wouldn't send that. It was a nice letter. It was a nice letter. But she said, trust God for the bigger picture. And burn it. And that's what I've done. It's not easy working out these things that happen to us in our day-to-day life, is it? And we can so often react like the world reacts to things, but Christ calls us to act in a higher way. God is at work within us, and he confronts us with his truth. But then follows that process of reconstruction, reorganisation and transformation. We each need to attend to our soul work. Because then, and only then really, we can experience the full benefits of God's blessing and God's amazing comfort. And I love that last verse, unfailing love, that's God's unfailing love, this is what I see in this verse, and truth, me realigning myself to God, have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed, truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness smiles down from heaven, the Lord pours down his blessing. And that's where he wants us to live, with his blessing and peace. So just reflect a moment on those verses, on that image. When have you experienced God's unfailing love and truth meeting together? Were his words provocative or reassuring? Did you find them tender or challenging? Have you experienced his kiss of righteousness and peace today? Is there soul work that needs attending to? And if so, what steps will you take? A voice cries out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." The world is full of longing and still floundering in its darkness. So we've got a song on the sheet now, not the one in the book, because the one in the book actually appears on the back as well. Grace's mistake. Let's make this next song our prayer, that God's light will come to many in this season, and that we would find ourselves in some way the answer, the light of Christ shining out to others. Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Amen. So, our third present here, God's love placed within our hearts.
The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and their people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people.
The Lord of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace.
Thank you. God's love placed in our hearts. Can you think of anything better? I can't. We've got it here, haven't we? God's new covenant written deeply into our hearts. The law of love. A new commandment I give to you, to one another. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. What a gift. Love that's pure, persistent, perseveres. It's a love that's sacrificial. It unites, it heals. A love that intentionally desires your highest. The old law, covenant, demanded from you. But under the new covenant of grace, love is given to you. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Under the old covenant, the law was a rule. It was for weak men to obey. But under the new covenant, the law of the Spirit of Christ, Christ who has been given to us, loves us. And loves others through us. Under the old, you loved others because you feared punishment. But under the new, you love because a lover loves and lives in you. And it's always his nature to love. So you receive love and you give love. And it's a huge, amazing flow. We love him because he first loved us. So take a moment to ponder the picture. The picture expresses by the artist those words, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God. And they will be my people." How is that, or the words of Scripture speaking to you this morning? We love him because he first loved us. What are your experiences of being touched by his love? A really helpful thing to do is to get a journal or a piece of paper and to write these answers down, because Roger and I have discovered that when we start writing, other things that we didn't expect pop up. Anybody else experience that? It is an amazing thing to do, so maybe that's something you'd like to do. Yeah. And how might you express that love that you've received with someone else? How might it flow out through you this Advent? For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. Oh, how we long for that. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. Another prayer, really. Let's sing our next song, asking God to let those living waters flow right through us and out of us to others. Let your living water flow. Fill us up with your Spirit. Touch us. Anoint us so that this forest area might be anointed and ablaze for you. Lord, meet the needs of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Our fourth gift, hope that lasts. Hope that lasts. Thank you.
Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They should be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit.
But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life.
Amazing promises. And I love that picture. I discovered it on the internet, but it's about hope. And the more you think about it, it is hope. Living hope means a call to live courageously each day. The signs of change and growth within us can be quite subtle. And our journey, like Pilgrim in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, is not easy and can be quite costly. How do we love the person that continually irritates us? I think Roger's learnt that key. How do we live victoriously in an individualistic society? In a society where we see Christian values just slipping away from sight, and where we are now a minority voice. Well, it's hope that helps us to endure the difficult times. Living in hope. Christ is our hope, living in him. And that means whilst everything is not easy, everything necessary has been done and accomplished for our redemption in and through Jesus. And therefore we have a very secure future. We're still in the process, aren't we, of letting him complete the journey into our hearts. But it's secure and we have it. We have him. Reader 2, could you read your story, please? Imagine now that you have taken a holiday to New Mexico. Lucky us.
On one of these days, you decide with your companions to make a trek across a dry, barren stretch, then up a difficult slope in order to stand on top of a mesa, which is a flat-topped hill with steep sides all around. Once on top, the mesa, you get a completely different view. From there, in the distance, you can see the outline of a currently dry riverbed, easily visible because all along its dry banks, life abounded. From high above, the riverbed is like a ribbon of green and gold, and in the sunshine, gold and green leaves flutter on trees and shrubs. Their roots are stretched out to be watered by the stream when the rains come. The roots must have gone deep in order to sustain such abundant life, even during a long, dry season.
There was hope, there was life in this desert area. It was visible. Advent is a time for us to sink our roots deep, our spiritual roots deep, and to let them stretch right out into God, who is the source of all life. But the truth is, because we are thus connected with God, we also can become that living hope for others, that source for others. So here's another story. Story 3.
In the aftermath of the Great War, a group of Quakers travelled to Poland to help with the reconstruction of a country and a community broken by years of war and disease.
Villages were practically wiped out because of Spanish influenza and cholera. But the Quakers were fearless. In the village where they served, they tended cholera victims with patience and utmost care, using the language of love, which transcends our normal, vulgar means of communication. But loving though they were, they too fell victim to cholera and died. The surviving villagers had grown to love and respect these gentle, kind people. They looked on them as strangers who had become friends. But because they weren't Catholics, the parish priest said the Quakers could not be buried on holy ground, and with regret he insisted that they be buried in a little plot just outside the edge of the churchyard. As the village rose from its slumbers on the day after the funerals, a remarkable sight greeted them. In the night, the fence of the graveyard had been moved so that the Quaker graves were inside rather than out.
Story reads rather like one of Jesus' parables, doesn't it? It's both truth-bearing and truth-shaping. But it draws us closer to our vocation to love, to serve, and to be remade in each other. That story presents a lived and enacted hope. We live in a dangerous and violent world. There are countless natural and human cries and disasters all around us. Mankind is full of deceit and greed and pride, and many have been condemned to a living hell through the war experiences that they've got and experiencing. Yet there is hope, and Jesus trailblazed this new and living way. It can be really difficult to work out what hope looks like in this modern age. But as we turn to this simple human story, we can see a group of people motivated by their faith in God and their love of him, motivated to go and serve. And in doing so, they broke down all the barriers of mistrust and fear. Hope is not some vague optimism that the future will get better somehow. But hope is building community based on seeing at the human, in the people we might fear too, or in the strangers that we perceive as dangerous. Hope is not giving up, and it may even cost us our lives. So just take another look at the image, hope. And hold those scripture verses gently as they speak to you. Let's pray. Source of hope, whose word began and sustains all life, we confess that there are times when we've not lived as those who have heard the voice of God. Shaper of hope, in whose living and loving God's intention was realized, we confess that there have been times when we've not lived as those who know and love God, inspirers of hope, whose challenging call are insistent and strong. We confess that there are times when we have not lived as those who have felt the touch of God. Jesus, you've called us to share in God's story of hope. Breathe your life through ours. that the story may continue in us and through us until the world is remade. Amen. Let's say together, I found this Advent Creed. So let's just close by saying this Advent Creed together. We believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth, the one who is full of patience, who is not afraid of silence, who does not need to fill each moment with activity and noise. The one who is beyond bluster and flurry, and who does not jostle for attention. We believe in God the Son, Saviour of creation, who slipped into Bethlehem one night, mostly unnoticed, who lived 30 years without headlines or hurry, who frequently took time alone with his patient Father, who waited for the right time to become a suffering servant, who stood quietly for the news of his accusers, whose silence overpowered their words, who died, then rose again on a quiet Sunday morning. We believe in God, the Holy Spirit, who strengthens, empowers, renews and refreshes, sometimes arriving with obvious power, sometimes with a quiet breath of a whisper. We believe in one God who patiently waits for us and who longs to do the same. Amen. So let's stand and declare that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, Jesus' blood and righteousness. Loving, living God, our cornerstone, we offer everything of ourselves to you right now. Inspire, enlarge and energize us that our lives may serve as a sign of yours. Jesus Christ, you have called us to share in God's story of hope. Spirit of the living God, come, breathe your life through ours, that this amazing story may continue on in us and through us until the world is remade. Amen. Amen. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Love has set us free. Amen. Amen.